Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to my little corner of the internet. This is the Midnight Garden. I am your host, Mudtoe Sasquatch, known to some as the Uncommon Shaman, known to others as Son, known to others as Dad, known to others as Grandpa, known to others as Hey You. Anything friendly will do. Anything unfriendly, I can probably live with that. But anyway, you're here, and thank you for coming to listen to me for this half an hour, this recently revamped radio show, the new Midnight Garden format, where I keep my comments to a certain regime of all the that my mind goes, and I also, I don't know, perhaps last week I think last week I didn't express this as clearly as I might, so let me try it once more. I think I was clear that I wasn't giving up on cynicism. It's part of my nature, and it's largely the way I see the world, so I mean that stays no matter what. Well, I think I gave the impression that I was going to try to give everything I talked about a positive aspect, and that's not really what I'm thinking. I want to be more forward thinking, rather than being concentrating on the past. Although I do have to talk about the past because that's where my experience is. But I don't want to be stuck in the past, concentrating on the past. Although my Buddhist friends say I need to stay in the present moment, I don't really want to talk about that either, because I don't think it's terribly interesting if I just narrate whatever's going on in my world at the present moment for 30 minutes. I want to be looking forward. Where are these thoughts taking me? Where do I see this... how do I see these things changing me, or how do I want to see them change as I move forward into, you know, what I'm seeing as the sort of final, I don't want to say useful, I think everyone is always useful or has that potential. But I think, you know, I'm 52, and in 20 years I'll be 72, and that's when it's going to start to, that's when my productivity is really going to start to drop off, I think. You know, whatever it is that I am good at, whatever it is that I am able to do well, is going to start to be diminished at that point. I'm going to keep a good thought and say that I'm going to be healthy and happy and productive for about 20 more years, and then I'm going to be looking for that soft spot on the couch. So that's the theme. Take some very narrow slice of my experience and project it, I guess. Maybe that's a good way to say it. Project it forward. What does this look like going forward, and is it something that is going to be positive for me going forward, or is it something that I need to change, or if I can't change it, is it something that I need to take the energy off of it in a different way? I guess maybe that would be a good way to try it. So, with that, the topic for today is anxiety. I will say up front, I am not a counselor, although I probably could be, having been in counseling for 12 years. I'll bet if I went and took the test, I could pass it, but I am not a counselor. So that's not what this is. I'm not going to talk about anxiety from a clinical point of view. I'm going to talk about anxiety as I experience it and where I see anxiety in my future and what I need to do about it as I understand it. And so, you know, I'll ask at this point for the guidance of spirit and of heavenly beings and spirits. We'll just get them all involved. And all my relations guide my thoughts and my words. And hopefully The goal is that the things that I say will align with the intentions. The intentions of that which is invisible, I guess. I'm running out of poetry now, so I'll go back to the idea of anxiety. Anxiety is, I chose it because it's sort of the it's a guiding force in my life, to the point where I wonder if it doesn't, I don't know that it comes from heavenly beings and spirits, but I do sometimes wonder if it's something they're using to try and hit me over the head, to make me wake up to something which typically I don't figure out. And anxiety is, for me, it's a sort of a peculiar reaction to the things that are going on around me. I say peculiar because most people don't react. Most people aren't troubled by what goes on around them in the way that I am. Most people aren't slowed down. Most people aren't blocked from the things they need and desire by anxious thoughts. I will give you an example from my very recent past life. Not past life, the life in the past. Tonight. I'm giving you an example from tonight. I brought home some paperwork for my mother. I'm here for the Easter holiday. And I'm fortunate to have parents who helped me out at the age of 52 while I try and figure out what it is I want to be when I grow up. So they have a vehicle which they allow me to drive, and they pay the insurance on it. And so I received, I don't know, it's probably different in different places. I'm sure it's different in different places, but here in our particular bailiwick, you get you're legally required to carry a certain amount of insurance to drive your car. So they send you your insurance card, and you keep it in your vehicle in case if you're stopped or you have some sort of encounter with law enforcement, and you can prove, okay, maybe I did screw this up, but at least I am insured. So. Got my cards. I always look for them. They come in April and October. So I'm looking for my cards. I get them. I take them out to the car. And then there's a whole bunch of other pages. And I don't pay much attention to them, but I do keep them in case my mother needs them for something. The reason for that is that I believed that her bill was paid through the opposite of automatic deposits, when they automatic debit, when they take the stuff out. And so I take them back and give her the paperwork and so forth. So I did that today. And I found out she does not, in fact, have that taken out by automatic debit. So the bill has to be paid manually, the old-fashioned way. Now, fortunately, there's 2 days left to pay it. It hasn't expired. There's 2 days left to pay it. Unfortunately, those 2 days are Saturday and Sunday. The insurance agent's office is closed both of those days, and Sunday is Easter Sunday. So good luck finding that. Now, the likelihood is, if we go in on Monday morning first thing and give them the payment, it's probably going to be okay because they were closed on Sunday and they couldn't have processed it anyway. But I don't know that to be true. And that's where the anxiety starts. The unknown is the beginning of anxiety. So I don't know that that's going to be the case. So there's this reaction that kicks in. First of all, my reaction is that I want to take care of this myself. Obviously, my mother wants to be involved in it as well, and so she's got her ideas and her opinions about what we ought to do. I just want to shut her out. I don't want to hear the input of anybody else. I need to, because you know, this danger is affecting me. I need to take care of it. Which So my mind has to start to generate what all the alternatives are. How do I get ahead of this situation so that I don't lose the insurance on my car and I'm not stuck here for the rest of my life? Now, of course, none of that's going to happen. You know, worst case scenario, I might be stuck here for a day, maybe two. You know, I don't even think I'd be stuck here that long. As long as they have the payment in their hand and my mother is a long-term customer, you know, so that they're not concerned about the check bouncing, and even if they were, they could call the bank, you know, and find out it's a local bank. But you hear, see, this is the process. Now, all the thoughts and all the logic starts to unravel as I try to deal with the reality that there's absolutely nothing that can be done. Now, I did. There's one alternative, because tomorrow is still a good day. You know, I'm not the payment isn't due until Sunday. So, if we get the payment into the office sometime tomorrow, we're golden. So now it all becomes about how do we get the payment, because it is officially closed. What can we do? How can we get the payment? What are the different ways we could get the payment into the office tomorrow? And there's all just so much information that's not known. So again, it's the unknown. Sort of the second degree of the unknown. The initial degree of the unknown is the fact that we don't know exactly what happens once the April the 16th passes into April the 17th and the bill is officially overdue. So that's the first degree of the unknown, and then the second degree of the unknown is, well, we could save ourselves. I could save myself. It's nothing, there's no consequence for Mom, I don't think. No, because she hasn't, you know, written a bad check or anything. It's just that the check is late. She didn't know to pay it. So the only possible consequence is for me. I'm causing anxiety for her. I'm sort of an anxiety surrogate, or she's an anxiety surrogate, one of the two. But it becomes a matter you identify and you generate alternatives and try and find an action to match each of the alternatives in the absence of information. All of this equals anxiety, and when enough of it builds up, I become unable to function. And see, here's the difference. Most people are able to just shake that off. They get to a point and says, well, there isn't anything I can do about it, you know, other than run by the office on Saturday and see if somebody's there, or maybe if they have a mail slot. And if they don't, I'll just do it on Monday. And then they wouldn't think about it again, you know, until they did something else. But now, myself and my mother were the kind of people who are just going to go over this and over this and over this. And until a solution finally does present itself, which generally, of course, usually is one that's is not one of the ones we were able to invent. Okay, so anxiety, anxiety happens. I think, everyone probably suffers from it one time or another. But I have to stop using words like curse. That's just way too over the top. How do I want to say it? My symptom, maybe? Is that the word I'm looking for? My manifestation, maybe. That might be good. How this manifests. The problem is not how it manifests. It's just it manifests over and over and over and over again. Anytime I encounter uncertainty. I'll give you another example. I'll give you another example. It's because I recently started a temporary job. And I mean, that's anxiousness on top of anxiousness again. The first degree is just being there and not knowing what the expectation is. And then each sort of new instruction, new thing that happens, is an opportunity to generate another unknown, which is more anxiety. And this cost me a job I had about a year ago. There were just so many unknowns and nothing being cleared up and nothing moving, no help coming from outside, even though in a fit of anxiety I really don't want help to come from outside. It almost always has to, because so many of the So many of the anxieties are imagined. And maybe not, I mean, they have some root in reality, but they don't, I mean, imagine these things are going to happen, like I'm going to be stuck here forever because I can't get the insurance cleared up. That won't happen. That would never happen. But I'm going to worry about it anyway because I thought of it. So imagine being in a training for 2 days and then starting a job that I haven't done before. And every question is an anxiety. And a question generated by a question, you have second degree anxieties, and then you end up with third degree anxieties and forth, because, again, most people don't get that far because they can just dismiss it. I get that far because I can't. And people ask me, well, why don't you? Why can't you just dismiss it? You know, just meditate, just cut it loose. What's the word? Separate from yourself. Separate it. You know, just don't regard it. Just don't. Just don't. And that's it's not possible for me. And the what makes it? I'll go. You know, talk about first degree. Let's talk about the zeroth degree, if you will, the thing that underlies all of it. And while I was saying all of that, I forgot what I was going to say. Ain't that fun? Ain't that fun? I was going to suggest something that there's something that just seems to underlie all of the first, the first anxiety is, I lost it. I mean, it's in my head. I had words and everything the words got in the way, I guess, as someone once said or sang. What happens for me when there's too much anxiety is I just throw my hands up and say the hell with it, and sometimes that's a good result, and sometimes it's not such a good result. Like when you raise you throw your hands up and say the hell with it, and you walk away from a job. Now, that particular job, the one last summer I was talking about, that really wasn't going anywhere, I don't think. It wasn't a good solution for me. So it may have been a deal when that was going to end eventually anyway. But it could have come to a better ending than it did. I could still have friends at the company who might help me as I was trying to find another job. As it is, bridges have been burned. And how do we sleep while our beds are burning, especially if you've got anxiety? And by the way, I should mention I don't take any medication for anxiety. I take medication for manic behavior and also for my blood sugar for diabetes. I'm not anxious to become someone who's on a lot of pills. I resist that, and I shopped around and found a physician who was tolerant of that. He'll make a suggestion here and there, but he doesn't really push it, and he realizes I don't want to get onto a lot of medication, so I think he's waiting for me to say, look, can you give me something for all this anxiety? I don't think he's going to suggest it. I think he's going to wait for me to say it. Ditto for the depression. That might be next week's, or maybe not. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure where all of this is going. But I picked anxiety because it's definitely the first among equals, as they say, of all my various of all my various dementias. Anxiety is the one that seems to vex and annoy me the most, because it gets in the way of the most simple functions. It complicates the one. It's not just that it gets in the way, because depression gets in the way, other things get in the way. But anxiety complicates things. Whatever problem, my depression in general doesn't make my problems, whatever is giving me the depression doesn't become worse because of the depression. Whatever is giving me the anxiety can very quickly become worse because of the anxiety. Because my reaction can put people off. They don't understand it. They don't know why I'm reacting the way I am. And damage can be done, and it can be permanent damage. So, what to do? What to do about the anxiety? It's this thing. I don't have a clear idea. That's why it becomes. But I mean, what I've established for myself. You know, what I wanted to do with this show was sort of change the focus to some. What are we going to talk about? You know, where are we? What are we doing going forward? How do I make this better? And I first, you know, I generated the first thing, but I don't. You know, I could start popping more pills, but I don't really want to do that. So how do we make this better, or at least mitigate, or at least to find some sort of utility in it? That's the thought of. Is there some usefulness that can be derived from this anxiety? One might expect that it would stop me from doing something stupid. In among the false flags, there's probably some dangers that are real. I would be well served to avoid. But the problem is, my reaction to my anxiety, sometimes, I might go as far as to say often, causes me to do something extremely stupid. Like quit your job. That would be one. I think the restraining benefits of anxiety are outweighed by the irrationality it injects into my life. That and the fact that it's probably the one thing, the one aspect of my dementia that I find myself explaining to people. It's very visual. You know, the depression I can hide. I just stay at home. With other things, yeah, I can do in private. But the anxiety follows me everywhere. It's on the bus, you know. I can't take a bus ride without being anxious. So there's no running away from it. So someone's going to say, why did you act that way? Why did you say that stupid thing? Why did you do that stupid thing? And you say, well, because I was anxious. You know, it happens, and there's an uncertainty, and I get the uncertainty upsets me because I don't know. Let me give you another example before I get to this. Happened just tonight as well. It's Good Friday. Went to the Good Friday service. My brother was singing there. In fact, he got to do the famous Good Friday song, "Were You There?" It's sung at the very end of the. Service, very touching song, and heard it, you know, going back to when I was a kid. Every Good Friday at that church, heard somebody up in the choir loft sing this song. So my brother sang it, and he got through the first couple of verses. I said, cool, all right, and then he started singing a verse that I had never heard before. And now I'm thinking, before, you know, I know this song. It's ingrained in me from my childhood. I know the song. And then as soon as he's done singing it, we can leave. So I've got this in my, this is how my future is going to be. But when he starts singing this verse that I'm familiar with, an unknown is injected in the situation. I don't know how much longer he's going to be singing. I thought he had two more verses, and then we'd be done. But here's this new thing. How many new verses are there? So I've gone from a zone of total comfort to, you know, thinking I could spend the rest of my life listening to this song because I'm out of my known area. I'm into the unknown. I don't know how many verses of the song could. It could be 100 verses. It could be 1,000,000 verses. The song could be an infinite song. Now, of course, it's not, okay? All that kind of thinking is irrational, but I'm still put in a state of anxiety because there's an unknown, and there's no way I can resolve it. I just have to wait to find out. Something from the outside has to come and intervene. That something is, he has to stop singing, or at least get back to a verse that I'm familiar with. And I can start getting back on... surer ground. And then, here it is. I remembered what zeroth degree is. Zeroth degree is insight. It's not bad enough that I have anxiety over everything. I realize that I have anxiety over everything, and I'm still unable to stop it. Because my belief always was, you know, when I started therapy, when I started 12-step, once I understood what the problem was, once I finally understood why all these things would happen, they would go away. And I found out, I think I always knew, but now I'm able to articulate that that's not the case. In fact, when I first started in therapy, my doctor advised or recommended a social group, an online social group. My original diagnosis was OCD, which I think was off base. But he sent me to this OCD group, and at that point, it was anxiety. I just didn't know the word to put to it because I got in this group, and I didn't realize it was going to be so competitive that you have to measure up to people's standards as to whether you're really OCD or not. And so I come limping out of this whole thing, having the doctor there, the person who claimed to be the doctor, saying that I was only suffering from insight. And that thought had to sit in my brain for about 10 years before I find maybe I'm not suffering from insight, but it's the first thing. It's the zeroth law is there is insight, and then the first law is there's anxiety, and the second law is there's anxiety about the anxiety, and the third law is there's anxiety about the anxiety about the anxiety, and this continues until your brain freezes up and you can't do anything. So the question remains, and I've only got 4 minutes left to solve this conundrum, is what happens to my anxiety as I go forward? I don't know that anything particular happens to the anxiety, but I have to be able to provide answers to some of those questions, at least the rational ones. My tendency is to run away from the question. It's just to try and alleviate the anxiety by just getting away from whatever it is that's causing me the anxiety. And, of course, that doesn't work because what causes the anxiety is the unknown, and if I run away, it's going to stay unknown. And there's no way I can generate logical, rational answers to illogical, irrational anxieties. So those I have to put aside. But the ones, you know, where there is a real answer, something I can do, I have to seek those out. I have to filter my way through the crap and find, okay, what's really the problem here? And there's some sort of rule that you have to ask 5 times about, okay, well, this, what's, you know, what's bothering me? Well, it's this. Well, what is it really? Well, it's this. Well, what is it really? You know, you have to keep burrowing into the question until you get this. It's like 5 iterations, they say, until you come to what the real problem is. So I guess I have to start thinking about that, and maybe not. I don't know that I can turn the drag of anxiety, you know, in the other direction. But if I am able to address a fear with confidence, I can't see how that can possibly hurt. I don't know if it's all going to go away, but if I once one anxiety falls, can't another anxiety fall? I think maybe so. Okay, I've gotten my warning from Blog Talk, so thank you. Not maybe bad. I got my time warning. I'm almost out of time. So I want to thank you for listening to my anxiety show, and I will have another show next week for you. I hope you'll join me again, and also have a look at some of the other shows on withinsightsradio.com. They're quite a bit different from this one, but I think you might enjoy some of them as well. So once again, thank you for joining me, and have a pleasant good evening.